There are issues of costs. So how much does it cost to participate in a particular type of recreational activity, right? The equipment, the clothing, entry fees. There's also issues of transportation, you know, just knowing what you invest in to be able to go to some of these places that are usually remote national parks. But a lot of that can be worked on and is can be addressed. I would say the biggest barrier actually is a perceived barrier with a very real impact and effect, which is being welcomed, so feeling welcome, being invited, and engaging in outdoor space and activity with others like you so that you develop that comfort and familiarity that you can then come back on your own and invite others. So that's one of the biggest barriers that we've seen that I take the most joy in helping to address, because a lot of the times his family is just stating, I didn't know this place was here, I wasn't sure what to do, or we really didn't feel comfortable coming here because we didn't know if, you know, if we would be, quote-unquote, using this space in the way that people thought we should be enjoying it. So, but once we break through that, we find that families love engaging in a variety of outdoor activities.
One of the panels that you're going to be participating in at the America's Latino Eco Festival is called Discover Mi Tierra, Reclaiming the Outdoors, Our Heritage and Our Wellness as a Civil Rights Mandate. Do you see this as a civil rights issue?
It is. It's a civil rights issue because we want to stress how the outdoors is a question of equity and access. And if we need to live up to the idea that the outdoors, especially our public lands, you know, what does that mean? That if these are public lands, it means that they belong to the public of the U.S., and that means they should have equitable access to all of them, not just that they're there and you can get to them. In other words, anyone can come, but really about understanding the social justice and equitable barriers that can exist in getting there, but also in understanding where these lands, how these public spaces were created. So there's a lot of history and roots and heritage to understand there. Because if these open spaces and public lands, all of a sudden it's a privilege and a right that is not accessible to the changing demographics, then we're going to lose them. And we are not then supporting the future, the current and future stewardship and the leaders, which are just going to be much more diverse. And so that's a loss both for public lands, but also it's a loss for the public, because these outdoor and public spaces, they go beyond recreation. They deal with issues of wellness, of history, and of helping to shape kind of what the American identity is.
Outside of your organization, which is an advocacy organization to get Latinos outdoors, latinooutdoors.org, what can other groups do? And when I say groups, I mean official groups, public parks, national parks, facilities that actually have these outdoor spaces. What can they do to change some of that dynamic that you've outlined?
It's a great question. In simplicity, I would say work with us. But not just in terms of work with us, but work with us in terms of looking how can we invest in each other. Because it's one thing to say, well, you know, just bring people to the park. But it's another thing to look at, well, what resources do we have that we can collaborate on to make this happen? Because what we found and really what we stress with Latino Outdoors is how do we work in collaboration is really stress that idea. What does relationship building and community building look like so that together we can serve each other? So our success in our outings and our activities, our hikes, campouts, trail walks, that comes from working with partners. So, for example, like a National Park Service that says, okay, this is what we have and this is where we're stuck. We have difficulty in authentic, meaningful engagement with the community, but our ambassadors, Latino Outdoor ambassadors, have that. But what the park can then say, well, let's do a pilot outing where we can arrange transportation for you, or let's help you with parking issues. We do have a bilingual ranger on staff. We'd love to work with you to develop a program. Sometimes it's as simple as saying we can apply for funding through our foundation partners so that we have gas cards available to volunteer drivers. And that really then becomes working together and working with, rather than an expectation of just bring us the people.
Well, Jose, thank you very much for taking time to talk to us. Is there anything else that you think that we need to touch on, particularly topics that you're really going to explore further in the upcoming festival here in Denver?
I would close up by saying that the work that we do, it's very much in the present of engaging communities and families now, but we really want to stress that idea of cultural identity and the value that it has in these open spaces, because then communities see how their history, even if it's their first time going to one of these parks, they have an identity and culture and history in these places, and then a responsibility as stewards for the future. And so when that investment is really connects, we just see such amazing visuals, amazing stories, and amazing engaging from Latino communities and families, regardless of their socioeconomic background and whether they're first, second, third, fourth generation. And I would close out by saying that, you know, I am inviting everybody to join us on social media at Latino Outdoors, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, because we would love to see everybody's stories and pictures and visuals and help us build this community.